then CPU.
So this line can spec CPU,
which is not
free. Which is not free.
Yeah, it's commercial.
Okay. So for, so far we have.
So far we have CPU.
CPU.
Or we have LMH.
LMH. But that's primarily for memory. I guess you cannot utilize memory without utilizing CPU.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Memory. You have my original script.
So what is that original script?
Original script does program,
right? It's a C program or?
No? It's a C program, plain C program. It just allocates a memory, allocates an array, and just C and I'm just controlling the size.
Okay.
That's all I do, and I do a specific number of operations.
Okay. Okay.
So if the size is bigger than the memory.
Right.
Bigger than the capacity, you actually go to disk. Actually go to disk, otherwise you read from memory.
Now, how did we model this application at different sizes of the memory and keeping the size of the array fixed? So we kept the size of the array fixed. And vary the size of
the
memory.
We get the size of the RFCs and we just vary the memory.
Vary the memory, CPU and all.
And we also keep the number of operations also constant.
Okay.
And that we can vary, number of operations, it doesn't matter. It just needs to be sufficient amount of time. It could be time-based or whatever.
Okay.
And we just vary the memory.
And I guess we could also use LMBench for, so there, I would like us to separate memory capacity and memory bandwidth into two.
Okay.
Right. Into two.
Memory.
Capacity.
Capacity. And it would be bandwidth. Bandwidth becomes the image. For capacity, we have this script. Also, we have any
the swing bench.
Swing bench. Yes. Mm-hmm. Any GPT workload.
Mm-hmm.
More or less in general.
Right. Okay.
Swing bench, which is actually a GPT warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly Oracle.
I see. So for that we would have to purchase Oracle database?
I think Oracle for the student we can have free version.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think, but I don't know about those legal agreements. Oh, I remember there are some legal agreements, right? Because I remember that you can use it, but you cannot probably publish it.
I see.
But probably they would have some version for MySQL or something.
Okay.
Or we have spec.
Spec JBB.
It's commercial, yeah.
Spec JBB is Java Beam something something?
Some Java. JVM.
I see. Okay. And
spec CPU is just they have two suites, like one integer for integer or some floating point.
Okay.
Now, I hear there is a lot, 5-inch, that I already set up, and have Postman, with two, for OLTP, you have Ruby. And we have DVD
program. Okay.
This is already set up. This
this up already. So you're doing all of this on the blade, right? On the cluster node?
Yes.
Okay. How is that to work with? Is it straightforward?
Straightforward. Well, actually, you know, I was thinking that I don't really need all those capacities. It's huge. I'm trying to find thinking how to use that. I mean, it's huge capacity. Memory is like 32 gigs.
Memory is 32 gigs and there are 12 cores.
12 cores, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I need to really think how I have to set up this.
But that's the typical environment.
That's typical.
So, if you're able to demonstrate your research on that environment, people will buy it.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. I mean,
and that means I have to sufficiently use that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I don't use, I think.
Yeah. What you could do, for instance, is run multiple instances, because I know the tenancy ratio in typically is, you know, as high as 10 is to 1, which means that there are 10 VMs per core, right?
Yeah.
But usually it's probably about 2 or 4 is to 1, 2 or 4 VMs per core. So one thing which we could do is figure out a way so that we don't use all the cores. Set up, I don't know, something in VMware or Xen so that we don't use all the cores available. That's one of the possibilities. I don't know if it can be done or not. The other is, well, we just run multiple instances so that we achieve that ratio. And then the paper actually becomes much more solid, because then we actually show that, okay, even at scale, it's not just some toy example on two cores with four VMs, we actually achieve something much more real.
But in that case, how do you model a single VM? It would be complicated.
The modeling of a single VM will still have to rely on the techniques that we have used in the past, right? The only thing that I can think of is to, you know, have much more competition by running sort of this I/O load on many cores at the same time.
Yeah, that is close. Yeah.
Right. So, because in reality there will be many cores that will issue I/O in competition, right? On a platform like that. So, for us to achieve the same I/O rate as
a
bunch of applications,
we can think about running that competing VM, multiple competing VM simultaneously.
Right, right. And then memory and CPU can be capped very nicely. Right? I mean, so those are not an issue.
No.
But
core is an issue, not that straightforward.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's not the same as running two VMs versus running 200 VMs, even if you have same load.
Right, right. Yeah. Right. So the only atypical, I mean, this is a very typical environment in a data center.
I think I had almost the same kind of issue.
I see.
Except the storage.
I see. Yes.
Actually, the storage is an issue.
Right.
For some experiments, I need bigger.
So we do have 500 gigabytes on, but there is only one disk.
One disk, yeah.
Right.
But I think for the DVD store, I talked to Luis, he says that it's actually huge, 100 gigs.
Uh-huh. Right. So let me think about what. Well, one of the things that I do want to do is to buy sort of this network storage enclosure, which is just storage with some RAID controllers and that you can access over Ethernet, right?
Okay.
iSCSI.
Okay.
But that's probably going to be, I want to place the order for that today. But there'll probably be at least 2 or 3 weeks before it shows.
But it will be attached
to the cluster.
To the cluster.
Yeah, that's my intention. To either
there is
maybe we can get two, one for the cluster.
There is
one for the
problem I see on the environment is that how can I exclusively use one volume?
Well, that has to be planned. Well, from what I understand about these iSCSI storage boxes is that you get an enclosure where you can plug in multiple drives, and then you can create volumes with dedicated disk drives. Yeah. Or you can create a volumes that span all the disks.
All
you have multiple
yeah.
volumes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely controllable.
Yeah.
So if you want dedicated access, then one possibility is that you timeshare the resource to say, okay, from on September 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'm going to use that array. No one uses it, right? Or you can say, okay, I'm going to create a volume with a dedicated set of drives that no one has access to. So we could do
actually,
in
VMware thing, is probably I need what it is. It's a LAN, right? So
mm-hmm.
I need a shared LAN.
Just
a shared LAN, but the shared LAN could consist of what you're saying, could span multiple drives
mm-hmm.
or could span just single drive.
Right.
But thing is that if one LAN interferes with some disk drives, then I can be messed up.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I'm trying to say. So if you, let's say you have, let's take a simple example that we have this 3 drives or 4 drives.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you could cut a LAN across like this.
Yes.
And then there are other LANs also.
Yes.
Right. And then there is interference. So in that sort of a situation, you probably want to timeshare. Say,
yes.
Okay, you know, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'm going to use these physical resources, so please no one use them. Right? No one else use them. Or you can have an alternate setup where LANs are cut this way. Right.
Yeah,
dedicated drives, and then you know there are dedicated LANs. So depending on how, what are the needs, we could set it up both ways.
Okay.
Right. But in any case, I mean, something like this is going to take a while before it shows up. So.
Yeah, I will just start with my the one I have. It doesn't even.
Right. So right now you have, I think, access to 2 drives. Or 1 disk drive.
1 disk drive, 500 gig.
Right, the other disk is running, has Xen installed. But we could potentially use that as well. There are 2 drives attached to each host on the cluster.
The host, actually, the disk is also is shared?
The disk is not shared. There are 2 disks.
Okay.
One which has, I think, Xen installed, the other one has VMware installed.
Okay. The one I'm using is VMware.
Right, right. So you could either boot the VMware or you can boot the Xen. Right, and use both. You know, that's the, that was the approach at that time. But we could, for your node, if you're going to be using this for a long time, we could use both disk drives. So you have a little bit more capacity to do your stuff.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And create a LAN that spans both disk drives. Or you can use the other disk drive as standalone, whatever you wish. It seems to me to make more sense to just have a single LAN span both drives, so that you get not just the capacity but also the performance of the 2 drives.
Yeah.
And in, for any workload,
mm-hmm.
right? And in
and workload, it's easier for model also.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So we can set it up as RAID 0 and.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we could do that. So if you want to do that, then I should talk to Ming to see how we can get that set up, because I think he installed Xen on all the nodes on one of the disk drives.
Okay.
Right.
I think for this moment I'm fine. I can set up.
I think it will be.
It's not preventing me. 500 gigs is enough space.
Right.
But if I have multiple instances, then I can run into a problem.
Yep. And if multiple instances, then maybe even 2 drives will not be tested. Right?
No, I need bigger space.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll talk to Ming and we'll figure out a plan how to do this. One possibility is we can pull out the drives from all the other nodes, because each node has a slot for 6 drives.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like a reasonable network storage with six drive array. If we pull out one of the drives from each of the other nodes
mm-hmm.
and put it inside your machine, then we could have a single LAN that spans 6 drives that will solve your capacity issue as well as the performance issue.
Yes, 6 drives, yeah.
So that's one possibility.
we can install RAID 6 or something also.
I think we could do RAID 5 or RAID 0 even. Yeah. So,
but covering all those disks, that is supposed to solve the capacity.
Right, right. And performance, right?
Yeah.
And then you can use performance of all the drives and everything. Yeah. So we could do, so let me talk to me today and see what we can do. I know that the other drives are not being used at this time. So one thing is that I'm going to set up a plan to order the enclosure.
The ice cuzzy?
Yeah, the ice cuzzy enclosure. And but that can take a while.
Have you talked to Jorge? I mean, you're suggesting that.
Yeah. I spoke to a few people, including the sysadmins from Miami-Dade, you know, Robert and Mike.
Yeah, they may have.
They had some really good suggestions. They deal with this stuff every day.
Okay.
Yeah, so. So I will either place the order today or tomorrow after consulting with some more people.
Okay.
But we can solve your capacity issue, I think. Okay.
Because the DVD store is a good benchmark, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Very oriented to that. It comes with three sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So either I think it's 100 megs, like in memory intensive, or either 1 gig or like 100 gig.
Oh, even 1 gig, I think, is memory intensive, right? And
yeah, memory intensive.
Hmm. Interesting. But so we could use all three personalities.
Actually, you know, DVD store, I was thinking that not using 100 gigs maybe, if I could now, if I could, let's say, 1 gig, I can trust do it as a memory intensive workload.
No, and that's what I'm saying. You could use multiple personalities of
DVD store
and create one memory intensive, one IO intensive. So it's the same benchmark. You don't need to set up additional benchmark, but just change the behavior.
Change the size.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. At this point, I have just setting up the Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby is the complicated one. Afterwards, I think I'm ready to go.
Okay. I mean, this is a very interesting but also hard problem, right? I mean,
it's hard. I mean, when I think about the big machine, it's very hard to model. I mean, I need to think about sufficient workload degeneration also.
Yeah.
Because before I was thinking if you're low scale, like 100 megs, 200 megs, now we don't need to think about it. We need to think about bigger workloads.
Well, one thing which we could do is to restrict the size of the machine. I don't know if it's even possible to use only just a fixed number of cores.
That I need to check. If there is a way. We can pin.
Yeah, you can pin VMs to cores, and then that can do it, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's the solution, because if we set up like 40 workloads, that's very hard to manage.
No, in our scale.
Yeah. So I think we could maybe restrict ourselves to half of the cores, right? So instead of 12, we have 6 cores, or even 4 cores.
4 cores is fine.
And we restrict the size of memory. Instead of using the entire 32 gigabytes, we use only a portion of it, right? Correspondingly reduced.
That is easy. I mean, you can say the VM can only have 0 to 4. Or 0 to 2. Let's say 0 to 2.
Right. So those are some of the...
The memory, except the bandwidth, there is not much sharing issue.
Right. Yeah. So I agree. On second thought, it seems like instead of going full-blown...
Full-blown would be unmanageable at our scale.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then maybe you could just use 2 bit drives and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So right now,
the CPU capacity, memory capacity is not the issue. For my case, storage is maybe more important.
Right. So if you have a RAID 0 with 1 terabyte...
I think 1 terabyte is enough.
Hmm. Okay. So let's do that then.
But I need to figure out how to pin in those.
Right. But so for the Rubis, you also need this HTTP request generator, right? So the client or... Do they run on the same VM or on a different VM?
Right now I'm spacing on the same VM.
On the same VM?
Because otherwise it would be two nodes.
Wait, two VMs.
Two VMs.
Mm.
Ideally it should be another machine.
Right, right. I think that if in that, yeah, for Rubens the network is also an issue, right? I mean, what is the network capacity? But maybe we can assume that network is not a bottleneck. Okay.
Yeah, I think Ajay was also mentioning that now his network is not
bottleneck. It sort of makes sense, but I don't know the reality. Ajay may be in a better position to judge that. The network is more easily provisioned and more easily partitioned.
I think that just talking to that, the main network bottleneck comes from the CPU itself. The processing capacity, the network speed is now so high that you don't, but you cannot process the packets at the same rate as the network is sending.
Okay. So what else do we have?
And you're saying that the kind of congestion you have is beyond the scope of the machine.
Uh-huh.
It happens on the router or some, yeah. So,
okay.
It doesn't happen, it's very rare, you're saying that it happens on the single machine.
Okay. Actually that's interesting. Yeah, the network can be an issue because, you know, I've been reading some articles and blogs on how networking is a problem in the data center environment, that there is a huge variability in network performance because of the competing workloads. Maybe at the host, maybe at the routers, people don't really understand that problem all that well.
Okay. Because if everything is shared storage, so each IO has to be...
Right, so for instance, using iSCSI storage, you're competing with IO traffic, with storage traffic and network traffic at the same time, right? That's typically not the case because typically storage is on a different network than the CPU.
If you use a fiber channel.
Right, right. So, yeah, but people are going to other technologies like iSCSI where you would share the same network interface for network traffic and storage traffic. So that's, and even if you weren't sharing with storage, you're sharing with all the other hosts, you know, the same.
I think in cloud environment it's even more challenging.
Maybe in enterprise it's not as much as just the managed enterprise,
in a regular customer in a cloud storage, then it's a problem.
Yeah, cloud environment networking can be an issue. Yeah, the blocks that I did read were all related to cloud.
But in enterprise, they can just set up in a fiber channel sub-network just dedicated for handling IO.
Handling storage IO. So this seems like is that a complete list or?
Yeah. FileNet is a good award for IO.
Okay.
There are multiple profiles also.
So why don't you make a note of all of these and then we can...
I think I make a note.
You can remember?
Yeah.
What I was going to suggest is, we need to give an update to the other guys in the project.
Let me just finish with all the benchmark. I mean, the stronger, I mean, unless I have some run from Ruby, then I can have better talk.
Mean some execution?
Some execution of the Ruby.
Okay. So
there are multiple steps to be done. I mean, I have script for competing IO, how to generate the competing IO, but I need to figure out how to collect the data.
But you know, for all the parameters, how to control them, so there are two kinds of parameters, right? One is the controlled parameters and the other is the observed parameters.
Observed parameter, I know, I have the script.
Right.
To
so
parse and everything.
For the latency.
For the storage latency.
And there's one more observed. That was competing IOs. We decided not to do that.
I mean, I'm just collecting many
everything.
Everything. For sake.
Okay. And what else are the observed ones?
Observed ones, you have all kinds of latency, OIOs.
Mm.
Then you have CPU, all kind of CPU
utilization.
Mm-hmm. Memory also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The most important is the latency.
Mm-hmm.
We have sufficient I/O parameters.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of I/O parameters. I mean, you can specific read versus write.
Yeah.
Plus read latency, write latency.
Right. Okay.
And they have also two kinds of latency, like a device latency plus a VM latency, a guest latency.
Hmm. Now, what about the scripts that you wrote for Zen to run the experiments by varying the resource allocation?
That's what I'm talking. That I need to figure out.
That you need to work on.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you doing this in the? Yeah, I see. And so you will run the script on the host itself directly, right? Not remotely or something.
I will run the script on the. Actually, that's what I was thinking also, because ideally, yeah, I will run the script on the ESX terminal.
Okay.
On the ESX host.
Mm-hmm.
And data I will collect on a VM on that same host.
Oh, on a VM. I see. Okay.
Just a VM that will collect all those data.
So there is no concept of down zero in this case, right? Is there something equivalent to that?
Not everything you can control from that. That's what I understand from the ESX terminal. There is not much down zero concept.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a very basic kernel that
very basic
and very basic controls that are exposed.
Yeah. Actually, all the controls you have to do it from the vSphere client.
Right, right. But the vSphere client will connect to this console, right, to the host, and then the host will do behalf of the vSphere client.
Yeah.
The vSphere client will give all the right. So the amount of control that you have on the host directly is limited. But through the vSphere client, you can do a lot.
Yeah. Actually, you have to do everything from the vSphere client.
What about the script now?
That's my concern. How do I control the allocation?
Okay. So, what do people do usually? Do you have any
scripts? They use some VC script.
Oh,
some
okay.
JavaScript script on the vSphere client. So, that will talk to the vSphere client.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your time to send the signal to the host.
Okay. Yeah. So that seems like the next major step for you.
Next
to figure all of that out.
I mean, it would be very useful if we have the same kind of. I don't know why they don't. It's just some interface.
Yeah. Well, maybe there are people who already have something like that.
Maybe they have some hack or trap something. They know how to figure out.
Yeah. Well, I would recommend that you, communicate with Ajay to see
yeah.
if there is anything that they are willing to share. Right. Because the stuff that Ajay is doing for his project, it requires some sort of automated scripting and execution and collecting of data.
He works on the collection side, ESX. He has a lot of scripts for parsing ESX and all those things and controlling workloads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't know how to control the resources the allocation script.
How to change allocation?
Allocation. I think he doesn't focus on allocation that much.
Oh. I see.
At VMware, I think he pointed to someone, but I think I went there, but I forgot next time. In the end, it was in the end. So he forwarded to me someone else, but probably he was not there for some time. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, what can we do then?
I have to talk to Ajay, of course.
You have to talk to
him. And some probably internet Google search, some people may have done.
Okay. Yeah. That seems like a significant next step that we had across.
I mean, I know how to do it with butter, you know, button pressing. Does not work with that.
No, that's not going
that's
to
impossible.
Work. Uh-huh. You'll have to stay up all night to push those
buttons. No, that's impossible. Yeah. Actually, I have fair experience in VMware with the scripting. Mm-hmm. Actually, scripting helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you spend 1 week rigorously, then you can really
relax. Yeah, you use it for your, you know, so many years, right?
Yeah.
Especially in your case, because you're going to be doing this over and over again. So,
ideally, it should be that I run the script on another machine then. Then the host.
That can be done. I mean, you could run it off of your lab machine.
Yeah, but lab machine can.
I think you should be able to connect to those machines directly from any host on the,
yeah.
On the CS network.
I'm thinking how to do it because right now my machine is running Windows because I need to run the PC around.
You mean the desktop?
The desktop.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, you could install ESXi on your machine and run Windows and Linux at the same time. Because I think your machine is reasonably powerful, right? It has at least 2 cores.
Yeah.
Right, so you could do Xen also and run Windows on one of the VMs on your host.
Yeah. Or I could just plug out the xCloud. That's sitting actually idle.
Okay, and
use it there with some dual monitor.
I mean, you want to use that as a desktop then?
Yeah, I mean, one Linux system and one Windows desktop, 2 desktop machines. And xCloud machine is very powerful. I mean, we can do a lot of processing on that machine xCloud.
Okay, yeah, that's. I mean, you could just leave the xCloud there. I mean, leave the xCloud on the rack.
Uh-huh.
Just connect to it and do whatever it is that you need to do.
Yeah, I can use the Boot2 from the Windows also.
Yeah. Or, I see what you mean. Saying it might be more convenient to unplug it and move it to your desk.
Yeah. Then I can just, you know, just...
You can access the console directly.
Console direct.
Mm-hmm.
And having a Linux console helps that footy, definitely.
That's true, yeah, certainly. I'm trying to think that... I'm trying to think... We are making the best use of the resources. Well, that machine is fairly powerful. It can be used for a lot of different things.
But ideally, processing should be done on that xCloud. Because right now, for the vSphere, I need Windows too.
Right.
Run. But we can solve it with hypervisors. That's only possible.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that has the problem because you cannot install ESX except Fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the sole reason I moved to the cluster machine.
Okay, well then, just we can unplug xCloud from the rack and move it to your desk. I think that's fine. Let's do that.
Okay.
And,
I think that's easier to set up
for
right now.
That's a PowerEdge, right? It's a PowerEdge server, Dell.
It's a PowerEdge. Or what I can do, but I don't know, it may create interference. That's a problem. I can create a VM in a Windows VM in the cluster itself and use it and install vSphere client there.
But how do you then export the console? that may be problematic, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have access to the machine.
I need another machine.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Right now, yeah, just like the top car.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking we are actually getting another machine, a new machine.
And is it dual CPU?
Or
because you know that I don't know what the exact difference between VCS client and VCS server, but yeah, I know the difference. So the thing is that VCS server cannot be installed in my machine.
Oh.
Because it's not supported by the processor type doesn't support.
I see. This is a fairly new machine, so. So this is something that I was purchased for Daniel. So this one is a dual core i3. Dual core i3 with 4 GB of memory.
Yes, 64 GB.
That was one of the requests I had, to make it 64 GB.
My machine is 32 bit.
Your
that XCloud is 64 bit.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, my machine is not 32 bit. Like 64 bit. Just the memory is 2 GB. You cannot use as a 64 bit.
Right. Okay. And this one has 2 500 GB drives too. Okay. So well. Yeah, but anyway, I bought that for Daniel. So what I was thinking is that Daniel.
No, I think we have enough machine. Just we need to reshuffle a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I mean, the XCloud is just sitting there.
Right.
I plug out the Zen drive.
What does XCloud have in it? What does it have?
It just has now one day.
Quad core.
It's quad core.
It's single processor quad core.
Single processor quad core.
Okay. And it, how many drives it has in there?
It has 2 slots for reality.
Okay, but it does have 2 drives in it?
It has 2 drives, but I plugged out one. I just keep it because I have all the Zen installed there. So.
Oh, okay.
I just test it.
Okay. Right. Well, no one else is using that. You could put the drive back in and make sure that you don't touch it.
The drive.
Yeah. So. Okay, so let's just...
I think I installed the ESXi there, yes.
Okay.
But it's unusable, I have to replace it with some Linux machine.
It might be a good idea to actually do ESXi and Linux on top of it. Because in the future, if you want to have... I mean, I'm thinking that we could probably eventually retire your Top Gun and you could just move to that quad core as your... primary machine, and then you could have, you know, Windows and Linux on the same host. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. But I know that there was some problem with installing ESX on that.
Yeah, that's the problem I'm saying. That because to install the VMFS, I installed the ESXi, but the VMFS is, I couldn't install it on the reality.
And the
SCSI also couldn't detect the SCSI types we had.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then Linux it is. right? So just install Linux on the virtual machine.
And anyway, we'd have the Xen also there, so if we want to switch some projects for Xen, it will be very straightforward to use that machine.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay. So let's do that. Let's move the xCloud onto your...
Well, I think I need some kind of switch, right? I don't know what this is called.
I see. You mean the monitor switch?
Yeah.
I can find out. We can place an order for that. We need to order a few things actually. But we don't have any in-house at this point. Any other switches. So you might have to...
Wait for something.
Use two separate monitors.
Yes.
Do we have a...
It has plug. I don't think it has two plugs per monitor.
No, there are two machines, right?
Oh, it's two machines. Sorry.
So you connect the monitor to each of them.
Yeah, any old monitor will do for a sudden.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we have an extra monitor on one of the devices.
Oh, okay. So on the fallout.
On, yeah. So you could just go ahead and use that for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can change it later.
You can change it later. I need to do a whole bunch of purchasing. Okay, so right, so I guess you know what next steps are, right? And at this point it seems a little difficult to make yours.
I'll try. I mean, otherwise, I mean, let's see. I mean, maybe not very focused deadline, but let's just keep working.
Yeah.
See whatever we.
Okay. That makes sense.
I mean, ideally, I mean, for sure, I have to do for the at least at the end of the year. I need to do the all the proposed work and done because otherwise, I'll just fall back.
Yeah. I was hoping that your VMware thing will be more productive in terms of getting your work pushed ahead a little bit. That's fine. So you just lost a few months, but that's okay. Okay, so what should we do? Should we meet next week?
Let me just finish the installation, run some test runs, and then...
Should we meet next week the same time, just to...
Definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Okay. I'll put that in my calendar.
Okay.
Okay, then I'll post this audio. I don't know if we need it or not. Do we need that?
No, I think we just need to... Sure.
Actually, yeah, I'll...